Hi, this is Kyle Bauer with Plain Talk with the girl that wants to be called Otto, but I'll call her Jamie Bloom.
Yeah.
Well, okay. She wanted to talk about autos because I had a thing here that it's kind of crazy, and I read it three or four times, but it says it. 7% of licensed drivers in the U.S. are 16 or 17 years old. 7%.
7%. Well, that sounds about right, doesn't it?
But yeah. They're responsible for 30% of the automobile fatalities.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. 30%.
I know my parents had an accident with a 16-year-old. It was his birthday, and it was also my mom's birthday, ironically. And this was in Colorado in a tunnel, and he wasn't paying attention, and he rear-ended them.
I just talked to somebody last week who they're pulling a trailer, didn't hit their vehicle. But the 16-year-old ran a stop sign and hit them right in the middle of their trailer and totaled out their trailer.
Well, and as the mother of two boys, I mean, you're nervous as they go driving off those first year or so, you know?
Yeah,
because they're very confident.
And let's say that anybody who buys a first car for their kid, just plan on them wrecking it. So pick a car that you can fix and or you're not going to fix.
You won't be completely
devastated because this car is going to get wrecked. So,
yeah.
And, you know, it's there's a reason why those insurance rates are so high.
Speaking of car wrecks, a shocking incident unfolded in downtown San Francisco as a tow truck tried to hook onto a moving vehicle. Did you see this story? Sending a California couple into a state of panic. Joanne and her husband found themselves targeted by a yellow specialty towing truck while running errands on a typical Tuesday morning. So they were in the vehicle. It wasn't like they had left the vehicle and then someone was trying to tow it. The situation escalated rapidly as the tow truck made repeated attempts to latch on to their 2017 Toyota Corolla. Why that one? You know, why that
vehicle? Oh, you think they were stealing it?
I think they were trying to steal it.
I thought the guy had a warrant to pick it up. Huh. And it's a.
I never thought about that.
We were at the K-State football game one time, and somebody parked in the wrong slot. You know, all the slots are numbered.
Right.
And they parked in the wrong slot. And so the person showed up that was supposed to be in that slot, and they called whoever's in charge. And that person came over, and they immediately called a tow truck. And I thought, this person's going to have a very unpleasant thing after the game. They had no keys to this, anything, and they have this unbelievable truck that can go in at a 90-degree angle, snatch that car out, pull it straight out of the parking slot, and then they turned, they went down about two slots, and they realized that nobody, on their chart, that nobody was renting the slot, like, across the aisle and two down. And they took that tow truck and they just inserted that car
into that slot.
It was the most amazing thing I had ever seen in my life. It was a big arm that went under the tires and had bars that projected from it. And it was, I bet that entire thing took them less than 5 minutes.
Wow. Did they also give them a parking ticket while they were there?
I don't think so. I think the person was just, I don't, you know, actually, I think we were there after the game and the person showed up and, you know, kind of
like, wait,
amazed.
I didn't park
Where's
here.
My car? Where's
and then
my,
probably
no.
spotted. It wasn't too
well,
far
no,
away.
Well, no, that was it. We all pointed. We said, is that your car over there? And they said, yeah, and then told them the story.
Told them the deal. Well, this couple's harrowing experience unfolded as the tow truck relentlessly pursued them through city streets. Again, this is downtown San Francisco. Joanne, who didn't share her last name, said the car was paid off, so there was no reason for a tow truck driver to go after the vehicle, especially on a busy street. Authorities are looking into the tow truck company, and the couple is trying to understand why they were targeted. So it makes me wonder if the tow truck driver was mixed up and thought that the vehicle was, you know, trying to repossess somebody else's vehicle.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's what they do. They repossess them anywhere they can find them. But you'd have thought, if this was happening to you, you would have called the police.
Yeah.
And let the police sort this whole thing out.
Right, yeah. Okay, because we're staying on the auto topic. I'm auto today.
O-T-T-O.
Are you good at getting where you want to go without getting lost?
I'm never lost. I just don't know where I'm at.
A study looking at 294 subjects managed to group them into three categories. Those who make good mental maps and can improvise between known routes. That's you. Yeah.
That's me.
Those who have good route knowledge. They're excellent in known territory, bad outside of it. That would kind of be me. And a third group that just wasn't really good at any of it.
Well, there are people that just don't have a sense of direction. And so if they don't have a sense of direction, it's really hard to do anything but follow exactly where to go because they don't really know which direction they're going.
Exactly. We just had this conversation when I was with my husband's family over the weekend about people that are non-directional, because I believe we were, I don't remember where we were sitting, in a restaurant or something, and somebody for some reason was trying to decide which way was north, you know, and we got to laugh, and of course they were teasing us that did not realize which way was north. And my brother-in-law says, my gosh, he goes, I swear we can be looking directly into the sunset and I can say which way is west. And she still doesn't know. And, you know, and my husband thinks that I should be able to close my eyes and turn in a circle slowly a couple of times and imagine that I'm where I know the directions and that I should be able to point north. And I don't even understand what he means by that. But he thinks this method works every time.
Oh, you're kidding.
And I don't get it, and I don't...
It doesn't sound right to me. For me, it really is the sun up, because I learned over the years that if I get dropped off in a city in the middle of the night and taken to a hotel, try really, really hard to not assume any direction is any direction.
Yeah.
Because then if I assume I've driven in on the west side of the road, and in the morning, it's something different than that, I have a hard time getting myself back. But if I just don't even think about it, then the next day when the sun's up, it all
then
is
you
obvious.
Can figure it out.
And
yeah.
I don't even have to figure it out. Huh. It's just inane. You know, you just know.
And
that
I think
if
there
the
are
sun's
just people
here,
that just are.
Then.
They have that internal navigation system just built into them.
But I know it's from the sun, because if I am in areas when there's no sun out.
With me, it's like, where was that McDonald's on the corner? Because I knew where that was.
I
work from Landmarks.
From Landmarks, right.
Yeah. All right, one more auto story. General Motors has ceased sharing driving behavior data with data brokers LexisNexis and Verisk, following a report by the New York Times revealing the practice. The data was collected through GM's OnStar Smart Driver feature, with some drivers claiming they were enrolled without their knowledge. The detailed driving information included hard braking, acceleration. It was sold to car insurance companies, who used it to adjust rates. GM stated that customer data is no longer being shared with the data brokers, and they are reevaluating their privacy policies. A class action lawsuit has been filed by a customer against GM and LexisNexis, alleging that his data was shared without consent, leading to higher insurance rates.
My wife thinks I'm paranoid, but I always thought that OnStar, even if you weren't signed up for it, it was gathering data.
All the time.
All the time.
Well, you were right, apparently.
It was gathering data on you all the time, and you had no control over who was going to see that data. And my wife always was just, well, you're just paranoid. Anybody can follow me around, I don't care. And it's like, well, you won't care until you care.
Well, it's kind of like the people that are very paranoid about the Alexa deals in their home. I can't think what they're called. The Dot, the
Echo.
Echo. Yeah, okay. Those things. There are people that feel like they're listening to you all the time.
I know,
like,
they're listening to you.
Who's on the other end?
I know.
Imagine like all these men in a lab monitoring you.
How come they aren't women?
Side.
I always imagine there was women in a lab.
I imagine men, in suits.
I would throw all those out of the house if I had my choice.
Really?
Because you just think they're part of furniture, and then all of a sudden you say the wrong thing, and all of a sudden she comes alive.
Yeah.
Or you watch her over there, and the light is pulsing, and so she's listening, and so it's like, you know what? If you're going to come into my house, you better bring me a little treat.